Okay, we're up to page 4. Yesterday we start over with Pasuk 448. Istalich Hasila. Let's read the Pesukim again. We did yesterday 2 pages, and we didn't finish the very end. I left that one Pasuk. We'll review that, then we'll discuss a couple of things, and then go further. Istalich Hasidai. I'm going to read over again 448. Just to review the Pesukim. Gather for me, my pious ones. Karsei v'risi ale zavach. We learn basically, according to all of the Mefarshim, this is a reference to Klal Yisrael. And in this pasuk, we are referring to Klal Yisrael as my pious ones who have forged a covenant through sacrifice. This means Matan Torah. Matan Torah was, well, they were korbanos. They were korbanos that were offered by Matan Torah. And those korbanos was part of the covenant, the process of being mekabel the Torah. Something that we don't really get a sense of when we just listen to the generic description of Matan Torah. On page 448, I'm reviewing the Pesukim very quickly, what we learned yesterday, just a big recap of what we learned yesterday. This Pasuk here describes Hashem over here, according to the most of the Farshim, we are dealing here with the Yoim Hadin. And Hashem over here is bringing to court a summons for the Klal Yisrael to come to din. Klal Yisrael, they're called here by a unique term. They're Hashem's pious ones, and they're called the people that have entered into the covenant through a sacrifice. And this is not a surprise, because the Bris Bein HaBisorim was also through a sacrifice. The Bris Ben Avsim Hashem says to Avro Hashem to take Eglam Mishuleshes, the Ayin Mishulosh, the Sor Vigozol, and Vayivate Oysom Batovech. These animals were split down the middle. What does that mean exactly? Was there slaughter? Was there first a Shechita? And then the dead bodies, the carcasses were split. I have no idea what this means. But we do know, just a general understanding, that the Bris Bein HaBisorim was through animals. And Chazal say that these animals refer... No, it doesn't. I don't think so.
No, the right side of the behemoth and the left side.
Split. Vayivate oysam batovech. They were split down the center. And Hashem passed. Hashem Shechina, together with Avraham, passed in between the two parts. This for us is something that's beyond our understanding. We read the words, we're familiar with this. And then Rashi tells us that these animals allude to korbanos, the korbanos that Klal Yisrael would offer throughout the generations. In the zuchus of korbanos that Klal Yisrael will possess Eretz Yisrael. So we see the big bris, the Bris Ben HaBisorim, is where it all started. You know, people, I'll just give you an example. Which parish is the Bris Ben HaBisorim? Parashas Vayera.
Lech Lecha.
I'm sorry. Lech Lecha. Yes, the average person. When did the Bris Ben HaBisorim happen? Did it happen after Avram left to go to Eretz Canaan, or before? Well, if you follow the order of the Pesukim, the Parashas Lech Lecha begins, Vayoyimer Hashem El Avram, Lech Lecha, Ve'aretzecha, Mimolatecha, Umibesavicha, El Oretz Asher Areka. So, the beginning of the Parashat, and it says Avram left, Vayelech Avram, Kasher Diber Hashimo, Avraham went out on his journey. And then later in the parasha, we learn about Achar Hadvonim Ho'ela, after the war of the four kings, the five kings with Lot, Hashem appears to Avram and Hashem says, Al tir Avram, Sechorcha harbi me'od, don't worry. Avram says, V'anochi olechariri, uven mesek beisu, the mesek Eliezer, don't worry, you're going to have a child, don't worry. Then I'm going to give you Eret Vahemin Bahashem, and then I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael and Bamoeda. So according to the sequence of events in Parashas Lech Lecha, first Avram journeyed from his homeland, from Choron, and then he went, and then later there were many, many episodes, the war with the four kings, the five kings, with the whole Maisa of Lot, the Gans Maisa, and then all of a sudden Achar hadvar mo'ela, Hashem appears to Avram, and the bris bein habisur makuris. That is impossible. That sequence of events is impossible. How do I know it's impossible? How old was Avram when he left? When he left Choron?
75.
It's beferish in the pasuk. The Avram ben chomesh shanim, the shivim shana, bit. Bits. It says beferish. It says in the beginning, the very, very beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, that Avram was 75 years old when he left Choron. And the impression is that was the first time Hashem appeared. If you ask anyone, they'll tell you, when was the first time Hashem appeared to Avram? Lech Lecha. Vayoymer Hashem el Avram. Lech Lecha. How old does the Pasuk say that he was? 75 years old. How old was Avram when he had Yitzchak? First the Pasuk. Ve'Avram ben Ma'ashana. Bivoldo lo es Yitzchak. He laid this on Rosh Hashanah. So it says that when he left Choron, he was 75 years old. When he had Yitzchak, he was 100 years old. How many years is there between 75 and 100? 25 years, right? 25 years. 25 years old. 25 years. In Parashas Bo, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says explicitly that it was 430 years. After 430 years, it was Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rashi on the Pasuk says, what do you mean 430 years? 400 years, 210 years? So Rashi explains everything for us. The Jews who were in Egypt for 210 years, 86 of which were years of forced labor, of shibud. So there's this 86 of labor, and then there is 210 years. The number 400 is the time of Leidas Yitzchak, and 430 is the Bris Bein Habesarim. So Rashi says in Parashas explicit, he says Beferish in Parashas Bo, that the Bris Bein, from the time of the Bris Bein HaBesorim until Yitzias Mitzrayim was 430 years. From the time of Leidas Yitzchak until Yitzias Mitzrayim was 400 years. So that means there was 30 years from the time of the Bris Bein HaBesorim to the time of Leidas Yitzchak.
Yeah.
But the Pasuk says Beferish, that Avram went Lech Lecha, there's only 25 years. So the only way to understand this is that the Bris Bein HaBesarim took place 5 years before Lech Lecha. Because the Bris Bein HaBesarim was 30 years before Leidas Yitzchak. That's Rashi and Chumash. That means that Pasuk says it was only 25 years. The only way to explain this is Shiloi Kisidron. There was first a Melchama, the four kings, the five kings. That's happened in the very beginning. And then Achar HaDvar Mo'ela, there was the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And Avram didn't go anywhere for 5 years. And after 5 years after the Bris Bein HaBesarim was Vayoymer Hashem El Avram, now it's time to go. So it's Shaloi Kisidron. You know, I told this to a very, very big rabbi. So big. I don't even want to prove to you how big he is. And he said to me, what you're saying doesn't make sense. Can't be. What do you mean can't be?
Can't be a big Rashi.
You can't.
That's a big Rashi.
What do you mean can't be? What do you mean it can't be? He says the order of the Torah is first Lech Lecha.
He didn't learn Rashi.
I was like he dismissed me. I said I can't be. It says 20. It says in the beginning of Lech Lecha is 25, 75, 100, 25 years. And Rashi says it was 30 years from the Bris Bein HaBesarim. So the only way to make sense of this is, and I remember reading this somewhere. I don't know where. Years ago I saw this in some sefer. I don't know, no clue where I saw this. Is that it's Shaloi Kisidron, and I never really appreciated that it's Shaloi Kisidron until I did the math. When I did the mirror, then I talked to realize there's no way it can possibly be. It has to be that the bris ben avos. I did see it somewhere.
Rabbi, the narrative in the Torah is always in order. It's just everything else.
No.
The narrative is not in order.
So that so when we hear that it's not in order, we typically hear that in regard to Parshas Chumash Vayikra and Chumash Bamidbar. When you hear that, you hear about certain events, about Yisro, when did Yisro come? Did Yisro come before they built the Mishkan, after the Mishkan? In the Chanukas HaMishkan, there are certain sections in Bamidbar.
Before
Matan Torah. For Matan Torah. So there are certain sections, there are certain sections that you hear about in Rashi says himself, in Chumash Shemos, Chumash Vayikra, Chumash Bamidbar, you don't typically get the impression that there is any event that is out of order in Chumash Bereishis. You don't get that impression. In Chumash Bereishis, the impression is everything is perfectly in order. But it can't be. And I don't remember. I don't remember where I saw. I remember one thing is that the events that it says in Parashas Lech Lecha are not in chronological order. I never appreciated that until I was just thinking one day, wait a minute, it says he was 75 years old when he left Lech Lecha, 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak, that's 25 years, but we know as a fact that it was 30 years from the Bris Ben HaBisarim to Leidas Yitzchak. So that has to mean that the Bris Ben HaBisarim took place 5 years before Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha. Has to be. The Machlekes source, it seems that the entire sequence of events of the four kings and the five kings took place before.
So Lot left.
I don't know. You have to go and work it out. I don't know. Something doesn't make sense.
There's something else. Going back a bit. Avraham gets in trouble because of he messes with the idols. And then Nimrod tries to throw him in the fiery furnace, right?
None of that is in the Torah.
Right. But then, what does he do? He hangs around. He hangs around for until he's 75, whatever the age was that this occurred.
I don't know. None of that is in the Torah. Well, if it's not in the Torah, then it's very easy. The problems are the things that are in the parasha, and it says Achar Hadzvarim Ho'ele. Achar means after what? How do you connect?
Achar means immediately after. That's why sometimes it says acharei means a while later.
Sometimes. What is it? What event is it referring to? Okay, whatever it is. I'm just making that point. Is that there's a sequence. There's a sequence of events. The reason why we got into this discussion is because the Bris Ben HaBisarim is a critical moment, and it's so critical. It's really the first thing. It's the very, very when we look at Jewish history. Many my when I think about it, I don't give so much attention to the Bris Ben HaBisarim. When you want to go look at critical dates, you look Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha, and the reason why I tend to forget about the Bris Ben HaBisarim is because it the Torah doesn't give it so much attention. The Torah just puts it in the middle of the parasha. It doesn't give us a date. It doesn't tell us numbers. It just Achar Hadvarim. There's a nice little story to talk about. But when the Torah wants to give something emphasis, it tells you numbers. Lech lecha ve'avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana b'tzeiso me'charon. If the Torah gives you a number, the Torah is telling you this is important. Mark this on your calendar. Yitzchak was born. Leidas Yitzchak. I mean, Leidas Yitzchak represents the legacy of Klal Yisrael. Avram, he said, "Vanochi holech hariri." Klal Yisrael is going to come to an end with my death. And here Hashem says, "No, it's not. Look, you have a child. It's going to go on forever." And how old was Avram? 100 years old. The Avram ben Ma'ash Shana. When the Torah gives you a number, the Torah is telling you, mark it on your calendar. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah says 430 years. It was 430 years. Excuse me. In the Bris Ben HaBisarim, Hashem says, Yodoya Teda, Higer Yezaracha, Be'eretz Lele Va'avodim Ve'inu Oysam Arba Me'o Shana. Oh, there's a stira, and by the way, Redushama, we were never there for 400 years, not for 430 years. It says Redu, we know that we were there, the calculations for 210 years. How do you reconcile? 210. So how do you reconcile all this? The answer is, 430, the Torah says in Parashas Shemos, in Chumash Shemos, in Parashas Bo, 430 The Torah over here is telling you, mark this on your calendar. The most important event of Jewish history was the Bris Bein HaBesorim. That is where it all started. That is where Hashem said, Avram, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child.
That's the first communication?
The first communication. That's what it seems. That's at least the first communication that is recorded. That's what it seems. That's what it says. 430. What's 430? Bris Bein HaBesorim. Hashem says to Avram, Hashem says, Lo Yirosh Lekim Asher Yetzei Mechalotzecha Vehemin BaHashem Mimeyecha Vehemin BaHashem. The first thing about Jewish history, now this was so critical, the first event of Jewish history is Vehemin BaHashem. It's an amazing thing, because when it says Vayom Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha, you don't find that Avram, okay, I have faith in you. You want to go give me a free ticket to Eretz Yisrael? Okay. First class? Even not first class? Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha. You don't need emunah. What's the emunah here? Go. All right, I'll go. You told me to go. I'll pack up. No, it's not so easy to leave your homeland, what you're used to, but I'll go. But when you now discover that was not the first event. The first event was Hashem says, Lo Yirosh Chaze, Ki Im Asher Yetzei Mimeyecho, Hu Yiroshecha. And the first words that came out of the mouth, or the first record we have in the entire Torah of Klal Yisrael, of Avram making a statement, is Vehemin BaHashem. It's a Pella. Unbelievable thing. You know, Pesach is the Yom, there's a whole drush of a Pesach. Pesach is all about the Bris Bein HaBesorim. When did the Bris Bein HaBesorim take place? Pesach. Tes Vav Nisan is the calendar date of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Pesach. What happened? It's the first conversation that Avram had with Hashem, and Avram's response was the first thing that we discover Avram said to Hashem, where Avram expressed, is Vehemin BaHashem. And that is why the whole Klal Yisrael is all built on a foundation of Emunah. And that's why Pesach, you'll come in any Sefer, what is the Seder all about? Emunah, Emunah, Emunah. Why? Because it's the anniversary of the Bris Bein HaBesorim, and the Bris Bein HaBesorim Avram said Vehemin BaHashem, but it's much deeper than that. It's to appreciate that the Bris Bein HaBesorim is the first event. Even though you don't get that impression, because when you read the psukim, you go through the sequence of the psukim, most people, I guarantee you, go stop. Mark's going to do a laboratory experiment today. He's going to go on Avenue M and stop every single person he sees and says, tell me, what was the first communication we had with our Creator, our ancestors? I guarantee you, 99.99% are going to tell you, Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha. What?
The Goyim don't count.
They will know nothing. Anyone that will be willing to give you an answer, try it. Go to shul and try it. Walk around the shul, stop everyone in the middle of davening. The middle of that, make of a clap, we're not going to proceed and say Baruch Hu until everyone tells me the answer. Yeah, you're not allowed to talk then, but until I get an answer, what was the first communication that Hashem had with Avram? Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lucha, Mi'aretzcha, Mi'olatcha, Mi'beisa, V'chel Arvaz Asha'areka. What's the Shaila? Sorry, wrong. That's not correct. The numbers don't add up. The first communication is Lo Yirosh Chazek Kim Asher Yetzei Mimeyecha, and what was the first response? Vehemin BaHashem. The root of Klal Yisrael is built upon Emunah. And then what was next? The next question was, what about Eretz Yisrael? Bamoeda. And now here's Bamoeda. Oh, you should not have asked that question. That was a lack of Emunah. He was being challenged. Why did you ask Bamoeda? Just like you had the courage to say Vehemin b'Hashem, with regard to Yitzchak, you should have responded the same Vehemin b'Hashem with regard to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Chazal have a complaint against Avram. Why didn't you have the same emuna for Eretz Yisrael like you had for your child Yitzchak? And because of that, we have all the problems ad hayom hazeh, all of the horrible things that happened to us, all the tzaras, the blood, all the terrible things, is all rooted, Chazal say, in the fact that he was unable, the comparison, this comparison between Vehem Hashem v'Yitzchak and saying b'mo'eda. So what did Hashem do? Hashem says, let's make a covenant. So I want to say a drush. Even though every single one of the commentators on the page says that this pasuk is fully chasidoi, korsei virisi ale zovach, even though everyone over here says that this the Pshut Shel Mikra refers to matan Torah, because matan Torah was done, was the covenant of the Torah, the bris of Torah. The bris of Torah was accompanied through sacrifices, karbon shlamim. But you know, so there's another root of Klal Yisrael, and that is the bris bein habasar. That is where it all started. 5 years before Lech Lecha is where it all started. And what did Hashem say? Kach li egla mishuleshes. Ayl mishulash v'sor v'goizol v'yivater oysom batovech. A bris alei zovach. Klal Yisrael is rooted by chasidoi, the Jewish, they're rooted in also, what's chasidoi? Why daf word chesed? No, it's not a kasha, because if you learn like the Pshut Shel Mikra dealing with Matan Torah, and Matan Torah was accompanied through Korbanos, it's called Toras Chesed. Why is it called Toras Chesed? Chazal say the beginning of the Torah and the end of the Torah are sandwiched with between club bread. No, it's sandwiched with Chesed. Hashem did Chesed, a gemach. He gave Adam and Chava beautiful clothing. There was a gemach for new clothing. That's the beginning of the Torah. And the end of the Torah, there was a gemach for Chesed Shel Emes. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah begins with an act of kindness, and the Torah ends with an act of kindness. That's why it's called Toras Chesed. Why else? But I want to go back and say that we're dealing over here with the curse of a chasidoi. We're all descendants of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu is Chesed. Goimel Chasodim Toivim corresponds to the Isha Chesed, the Amud HaChesed. Vayita Ishel Achilo Shesil Levoya, the whole essence of Avram Avinu was Chesed. And Hashem made with him a covenant, Alei Zovach, the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Okay, so that's a Jewish, doesn't say that. All the Mepharshim over here say they're referring to Klal Yisrael Matan Torah, but why can't we also say Al Derech Drush, that we're referring to Avram Avinu, the nation that has come forth from Avram Avinu, where the covenant was established, the bris, the koris bris, v'choroisim, we say in davening every day, v'choroisim o habris, lo seis, zeret sakinani, achit ha'mori, what's the bris? The bris is the bris bein habasarim. Okay, someone say also it alludes to the bris mila. Okay, but the choroisim o habris, Pshut Shel Mikra refers to the bris bein habasarim. The bris bein, what? That's what they say by bris mila, they say those psukim, the moil says the pasuk. By a bris mila, the choroi simoh habris. It's also a reference. It's also a reference that Eretz Yisrael is linked to bris mila. Okay, so this is an idea. Let's go further. Vayagidu shemaim tzidko. Let the heavens declare Hashem's righteousness. So we learned yesterday. Now, by the way, what did Rashi say this pasuk refers to? It's isluli chasidah, refers to kibbutz goliyos. The time has come for the Jewish people to be ingathered. We Rashi learns this whole section is now referring to Din. This whole section is referring to is referring to kibbutz goliyos. Yagidu shmaim tzidkoi. Now we go back. Now you have to go vastly between each of the mafarshim. But yagidu shmaim tzidkoi, according to the Mitzvah David, is now the angels are going to declare Hashem's righteousness by saying, we now understand why Hashem delayed. Mishpat is delayed. Mishpat does not come immediately. People commit crimes or they do good deeds and they are not rewarded or punished for a long time. And that, unfortunately, allows people, it plants seeds of doubt in their emunah when they witness wicked people prosper and righteous people suffer, because Hashem does not reward and punish immediately. And as we all know, the Ramban is the biggest side. What is the chilek, the main chilek, even let's say even today, of living in Eretz Yisrael? What's the ma'ala today? Eretz Yisrael is a very dangerous place. You know, it's a country of extremes. There's incredible polarization in Eretz Yisrael. And why don't we all pick ourselves up and go to Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we all go? There's no good answer. Rabbi Rakefet, he goes crazy about this. He mamish, this is his mamish, the biggest pet peeve of chutzpah of all the American people. They don't want to come to Eretz Yisrael to go make aliyah. There's no excuse. And he's right. Guilty, guilty, guilty. You have to be with Allah MS. But it used to be years ago, people even Gedolei Yisrael, I heard Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky discouraged people from going making aliyah. He says, you're not ready to go there yet. It's a land of extremes, and not everyone is cut out to deal with it. Even today not so much anymore, I would imagine. Not that I'm really knowledgeable what goes on there, but it seems today there's a lot of opportunity to find your place. Years ago, it wasn't so easy to find your place in Eretz Yisrael because it's either it's extremes. But that's not so. But putting that aside, there is an incredible ma'ala about Eretz Yisrael. This is what Ramban says, and it's so true. People who live there will tell this to you without blinking an eyelash in a heartbeat. And that is, you are able to see the mida keneged mida, schar ve'oinesh in Eretz Yisrael, much, much faster. It's accelerated. In America, a person does a good deed, it may take 50 years for a person to see, wow, look at that. Me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he acknowledged my chesed, and look, he paid me back. He paid me back, not that I need to be paid back, but it means mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. I did a mitzvah, and look at, that was a seed that I planted, and look how it allowed me now, gave me an opportunity to do another mitzvah. And a person, you go plant, you do an avera, and you take a seed, it wasn't kedai. You see that the avera resulted in bad things. In America, it takes a long time for it to get dark. From the time the sun sets until Tzei Sakachavim is how much? It takes a long time. It doesn't happen right away. That is a dogma. Is that just like in Mitzias, time is slow, the Teva is slow, it doesn't get dark right away, it doesn't get light right away in America or in Bavel, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't see the Midah Keneged Midah immediately. In Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says, it's accelerated. A person does a mitzvah right away. Right away, already you can see the results of the mitzvah a few days later. Do an avera, you can see the results of the avera a few days later. It's accelerated. Just like when the sun sets, within a few minutes, it's pitch black dark. So too, when a person does an avera, right away it's accelerated. That is an incredible advantage. You don't have time to forget. It doesn't allow, the nature of Eretz Yisrael does not allow the hashkacha, the seeds of doubt to sprout in a person's mind. So in this pasuk, it is touching upon this idea where it says that at the end of days, the Malachi Hashareis are going to declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we now know, appreciate that your delay in Mishpat was correct. It's interesting that over here the Metzudas learned this in reference to the Malachim. If the Malachim are wondering what's taking so long for Hashem to punish and reward, so what's there left for us to say? So certainly we have a heart. If over here it's Mashma V'Yagidu Shemayim Tzidko. According to the Metzudas, the Shemayim refers to the Malachi Elyon. The Malachi Elyon, oh, now, you know, wow, Hashem, you know, we doubted you. Really? The Malachim doubt Hashem? Isn't that what it says in the Mitzvot? The Malachim, they're challenged with Emunah. The Malachi Hashares. This is such a shocking interpretation. It's just mind-boggling what it says here, according to the Mitzvot. The Mitzvot is basically saying is that the Malachi Hashares in Shemayim have challenges to their Emunah. And now, at the end of days, oh, we understand, now we got it, Hashem. So what about a human being who is challenged with all the crazy things that go on in this world? What's left for him to say? And you know what the answer is? Man is greater than Malach. That's right. A Malach, you know what it's like? It's like computer chess. Can you, I mean, not until recent times, but basically you have a computer, and against a human being. Is it possible for a human being to win a chess game against a computer? I think now it's not. I think now they've advanced to such a... It's a computer, artificial intelligence. Everybody said you cannot even begin to imagine how advanced artificial intelligence is today. I can give you some examples of just the most mind-boggling, you know, it's for real. Artificial intelligence is not just, oh, you know, it's a computer program and it collects information. The computer learns how to think. Okay, it's just unbelievable. If you want an example here to really get scare yourself, there's a big craze now. I don't know if you realize this. There's something called Chat GPT. Later. Go to this web, type into Google Chat GPT and have a conversation with this robot. Have a conversation. It'll scare the living daylights out of you. And that's just one example. But guess what? After everything is said and done, a human being, This Chat GPT is still a nothing. You are a nobody. Kineged, a human being. A human being has the ability just to see through it all. This pasuk here says that the Malachi Shores, they have doubts, but a person has no doubts. A person is a Baal Emuna. A person who has the ability to be a Baal Emuna has no doubts. Look at this again. This mitzvah stuff in pasuk and pasuk vav. Pasuk v'yagidu shemaim oz then yagidu then yagidu. I'm on page 449. Oz then yagidu malachei shemaim esidkol then v'yoymu ata now roinu ma sheloi shofat adhenu hu. Because Hashem has plenty of time. Now we understand why Hashem did not execute judgment. What? What did the Mitzvah just say? Then, at the end of days, when everything is accountability, then, now we understand. That means you didn't understand until now, but don't you have emunah? You're the Malachi Hasharis.
That's not the same thing as understanding. It's 20/20 hindsight.
This expression, you would assume, I always assumed, that in Shemayim, it's the Olam HaEmes.
Right.
And there, the Malachi HaSharis, they know what's going on. They know, person does an Avera, there's accountability. He's going to be punished at some point in time. It's not a doubt. If you live in the world of reality, you would never ever say, have such a statement like this. To say, Oz, then the Malachi Hashares, Oz, then Yagidu Malach, they're going to declare. They should have been declaring Hashem's righteousness from all along, from day one. The Yom, when they're going to say, oh, Ata, now we finally understand, Re'inu Mashal, this that you did not do so, was because of your patience. The way the Mitzvah is expressing this pasuk, to me it's clear, is that the Malachi Hashare struggle with Emuna. They witness things in this world, they see that Hashem is silent, he lets it go, and they wonder what's going on here. And they just go on, they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to lose their job. So they just keep on working. And then the end of days, oh, now we understand. A human being is the ultimate level of a person is not to have a challenge at all, never. That's what Emunah is all about. So what does that tell you? It means that a human being is much greater than a malach. Because a malach, by definition, has a segus in Emunah. And a person who's a maimon has no segus. You have no doubts. That's how it's supposed to be. So that means a human being is, I'm trying to give you the comparison between artificial intelligence, which today is a very big deal. This is where everything is going on artificial intelligence. That's where it's all at. Artificial intelligence is not, people make a mistake and they think artificial intelligence means, oh, you have a program and the program is just very sophisticated and it collects information. That is not what artificial intelligence is in the field of computer science. Artificial intelligence means that computers learn. They have a situation. Oh, what's the lesson from this? What can we learn from this? Waze uses a lot of artificial intelligence. When you have instructions how to get to somewhere. So it tells you that it makes this very sophisticated algorithm, the traffic, based on all of the other users. It figures out how much traffic is on the road. It knows, it figures out, you know, the whole cheshbon, and it tells you what to do. And then you know what happens? You don't listen. You violate, Waze tells you how to go, and you go, crazy Waze, I know how to get there faster, and you go, and you reach your destination, and Waze says, wow, we told this guy how to go, and he didn't listen to us. He went a different way, and guess what? He got there faster. So you know what? Next time he wants to go to that place, we're going to take what he did into consideration and learn from that. And we're going to learn. There are people sitting the whole day doing this. It's incredible. It's artificial is where a computer learns. It learns like a human being. That used to be the difference between a human being and a computer, is a human being knows how to learn from experience. A computer not. A computer just, no, you think of all the possible moves. No. There's something to learn, a lesson.
When a computer plays chess, there's a very narrow focus.
Right, that's easy, right.
Or,
you know, also this, when you apply artificial intelligence to playing chess, it makes basically today, I think it's impossible to win against the computer. It's impossible. Because with artificial intelligence, with the fact that the computers are so sophisticated, they can go 100 moves ahead, and you put artificial intelligence together, but because it's just chess. This chess. Life is infinitely more complicated than chess. And Malachi Hashareis, at the end of the day, are nothing more than computers. They're nothing more than computers, which maybe have artificial intelligence, but it's artificial. A human being is able to see it all. And the nafkamina between a human being and an artificial intelligence is Emunah. That's the difference. A computer, whatever you do with a computer can never have Emunah. A malach here, this pasuk, is the mitzudas of it is saying, I'm not going to back down from this thesis. Is the mitzudas of it is saying, Oz, they're going to say, Ata, now we see. That means that until now the malach didn't see and did not say to Hashem, wow. Until that point, the Malachi Hasharis, according to the Mitzudois' interpretation, was unwilling to Vayagidu Shamayim Tzidko. They were not willing until the end of days to declare Hashem's righteousness. Maybe they're willing to sing Shira. Shira is not the same as Vayagidu Shamayim Tzidkoi. Okay, the Sidnah Shel Esav, Yaakov Avinu, with the Gid Hanoshe, he says, oh, let me go, I have to sing Shira. Okay, you want to sing Shira? We'll talk about it. The Malachi Hashareis, every single day they sing Shira, but they don't do what it says here. This is a new level for them. Vayagidu Shamayim Tzidkoi. Why do they have to wait until the end of days to declare Hashem's righteousness? Because Malachi Hashareis don't have emunah. They don't have emunah. They struggle with emunah. We, Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. We have emunah. Human beings, every single day in the Nusach HaTzvila, in many different points, we declare Hashem's righteousness, even though it did not yet happen.
Rabbi Alper says it is safer when it says, "Ma'asei Yadav Tovu V'Yom V'Atem Omer Mishira." It doesn't mean what you think it means. He says it's God is saying to the Malachim, "What did you do? Did you risk your life?" You know, the Malachi Asheris were complaining. They're saying Shira. You know, they shouldn't. He said, "Who are you to talk? You are not in danger. They put their life on the line. You didn't. So they have a right to sing Shira."
The victim, absolutely.
You didn't do anything.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go further. Shema Ami Vadaber. Now we go further. Should we review the list? Shema, listen to my nation and I will speak. Yisrael V'Oidabach. Okay, according to the interpretation, it's Mishpat, listen, my nation, I will speak. Yisrael, two different, we discussed yesterday, there's an Ami, and there is Yisrael, V'Oidabach, I will testify against you. Elokim Elokecha Onoichi. I am Elokim Elokecha. It almost sounds like the Aseret Sadibros. Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. Contrast this expression with the Aseret Sadibros. Onoichi Hashem Elokecha versus Elokim Elokecha Anochi.
Well, we're talking about judgment here, right?
Correct. Okay, well, I mean, it's subject to interpretation, according to Pshut Shel Mikra. So notice, its two words are the same. One is different. The difference is as Rabbi Michal said, is it's din. Aseres HaDibros have the same translation, but different words. And backwards, Onoichi, three words, Onoichi, Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Rachamim, Elokecha. Here it says the same thing, Onoichi, but instead of saying Yudke Vavke, it says Elokim, Elokecha. Exactly the same thing, but there are two differences. Difference is it Midas Hadin, Midas Harachamim? And the second difference is the order of the words. Instead of it saying Onoichi, Elokim Elokecha, it says Elokim Elokecha Onoichi. Okay, so this is interesting. Like, but this is the end. According to the most mafarshim, this is the end of days. The Aseres HaDibros was the beginning. The beginning of the whole history of the Jewish people is sandwiched between Onoichi Yudke Vavke Elokecha, and the end is Elokim Elokecha Onoichi. This is the sandwich of the Klal Yisrael, of their relationship with Klal Yisrael, and when it's to a dear degree that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he wanted the world to exist with Midas Hadin. Bereishis Boro Elokim. And then what happened? Hashem said it's not going to work. B'yoim Beroi Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shemayim. Hashem saw that the world cannot exist on Midas Hadin, so he was mishtatev to the din, Yudke Vavke, Beroi Hashem Elokim. However, at the end of days, we will reach the ultimate goal of Elokim. When Hashem went and revealed the purpose of creation in this world, it was Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, Yudke Vavke. But the end of days is Elokim Elokecha Onoichi. So when you put the two together, it's B'yoim B'roi Hashem Elokim. Okay, now it says, Loy al zivachecha oichichecha. This we discussed yesterday, we'll go to some of this more today. I am not going to ever give you Musar as to why you did not bring Korbanos. V'oiloi sechol enegdi samid. I'm not interested in the Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi you learn about the Ketz Mizbech, the Ketz Mizbech. There are certain questions, answers that answer all, wherever in doubt. Whenever someone asks you a question, you don't know the answer. So there's certain answers that they'll catch all answers. The answers every question. Every question. One of them, in Kachim, you have a question, Ketz Mizbeach. You say Ketz Mizbeach, it's that the Mizbeach should be busy with Kurbanos. It's almost like a casual. You have other questions? Kidei Sheyishalu Hatinoikos. That's another catch-all answer. Why do we have Karpas? Why do we have Karpas on Pesach? I don't remember exactly. Kidei Sheyishalu Hatinoikos. It's a catch-all answer. So here, okay, just going making a little bit of a joke. The Oyla Sechel and Negdi Summit. I'm never going to complain to you why you did not continuously busy the Mizbeach with the offering of Korbanos. I don't need Korbanos. Did I ever take from you a par? Did I, according to the mitzvahs, did I ever demand? Did I ever ask, knock on your door in the middle of the night, oh, can you do me a favor? Can you bring me a korban right now? I'm hungry. Bring me a korban. Did I ever ask you to give me a goat, a male goat from your enclosure? That's how the Mitzudos learned. Rashi says something much more painful, much more stinging. Whatever you give me, you're not giving me anything. I gave it to you. It's mine anyway. You everything that you have in this world, you're just an trustee. You're holding on to my possessions. La Hashem Ha'aretz Umiloa. When you give $1 million donation to your favorite institution, you're not giving me anything. I gave you the money. It's my money. You're giving it back to me. I gave you this money that you should give it to an organization, to some tzedakah. And in fact, you're a ganef. I gave you a lot more. And you're only giving back a fraction of what you're supposed to go give. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi is a very, very, very sharp, sharp learner. Loi shalachoheim. It's not yours. Ela shali. What, you think you're doing me a favor? How do you get all this money? People, they fool themselves in thinking, people that are blessed, how do you get all this money? How does this come into your possession, this money? Hashem is very, very amazing how he just like makes things happen and like, you work for this? You really deserve what you have? How did it come into your possession? I gave it to you. So don't be so stingy when you give tzedakah. Next, now Kili Kol Chayso Yoar, Hashem says it is to me all of the wild animals of the forest. Behemos, the Pshutoi Shol Mikra, the B'lashon Rabim. I have in my possession animals over a span of Beharere Olef, thousands of mountains. So I don't need your korbanos. I don't need you to bring me a korban. I have plenty of animals out there. And then we learned Rashi and the Mitzudais, who cannot ignore the mystical meaning of these words, Behemos Bahari Olif, which means there is a single creature called the Shor Habar, Abar. Bar means out, like a brisa. Brisa means on the outside, the wild ox. And this wild ox is a mystical creature which represents certain concepts which are beyond my understanding, and it's going to play out in the times of Mashiach, and there's going to be the Sudas Leviosan, which the Tzaddikim will enjoy from its, will eat its meat, and this is a single creature who feeds upon the grass, the pasture land of 1,000 mountains. Or the word over here, Olef, we learned a very interesting shot, it means what comes forth, the vegetation. Olaf means shigar alofecha. Shigar alofecha, which in that context means what comes forth. So it means the produce that comes forth from the mountains. The behemos that I'm not sure I'm translating it correctly. Let's leave it with that, because let's go further. Okay, either it means simply means 1,000. It's just an expression. 1,000 is just a metaphor to mean an infinite amount, an enormous amount, a lot. And the Pshuto Shel Mikra means that I have all of the animals in the world. I don't need your animal. Or it's an allusion to this mystical creature. Now, this pasuk is where we're up to. I accidentally skipped it, so let's do it now. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yodati, Hashem is continuing. I don't need your korbanos, Yodati, I'm aware. Kol Oif Harim, I know of all the birds of the mountains. I'm aware of them. V'ziz Sodai Imadi, and the ziz of the field. Now, that's a hard word to translate, and it's also a little mystical thing. Simply means zoz, to move. What moves, v'zoz, v'ziz, sodai, imadi, the objects of the field that are in constant motion are with me. This is an amazing thing, because science, everything in this world is in motion. Everything is, I remember years ago, I was used to teach in college, in Brooklyn College, and talking about the whole course about basics and computers. And I remember the whole thing, the whole part of it is a rule in computers. Anything that moves will break. It's a rule of life. In life. No, it's a very interesting concept. That's why anything in this world that moves will eventually break. You have a car.
Anything that doesn't move will eventually erode,
but anything that does not move has an infinitely longer shelf life. For example, the example that we use in computers was, that was a time when hard drives, when storage was transitioning, it still is, from a disk to a solid state drive. If you buy a computer by site, never only get a solid state drive. Do not get the old fashioned hard drives that spin. Because you know what's going to happen one day? It's going to break. Because everyone remembers the record players, right? I remember record players from 100 years ago. You have records and every tape recorders where the magnetic tape turns. And then on the hard drives that went up for 20 years, hard drives, it's just basically a record player. It's all it is. A hard drive is just you have a CD. Everyone knows what a CD. Well, inside your hard drive is basically just a fancier, more complicated CD, which spins and spins and spins and spins and spins forever and ever and ever. And there's a reader. There's a little very sensitive item which picks up information, writes and reads. It spins the whole day, nonstop. You can hear it. When you turn on the computer, you hear when you're searching your hard drive, you hear it spinning. If it keeps on spinning forever and ever, you know what's going to happen? It's going to break. Nothing can spin forever. A car, all the parts of an engine are moving up and down, all the turbines,
pistons,
whatever they're called. Anything that moves, eventually is going to give out. Because of friction. Solid state drive, nothing is moving. Nothing, these little flash drives, your smartphone, nothing is moving. There's nothing inside moving. Everything stays put.
Electric currency.
Right, so electric currency, but there's nothing physical moving. Oh, nothing physical is moving. That's why smartphones, they last forever until you put into it falls into the toilet. Anything until you break it. Something that doesn't have to move will not break. This world is old-fashioned. This world is moving. This world is mamish old-fashioned. Today, in engineering, you don't want something to move. If it moves, it's going to break. Okay, all these new things, they don't move. It's a tremendous chokmah, solid-state flash. They don't move. Nothing moves. It doesn't make any noise. Doesn't move, but the world is old-fashioned. The earth is spinning on its axis. Yes. The moon is all mixed up. It keeps on going around. The earth with the moon goes around the sun. Supposedly, the sun, the moon, the whole thing is also spinning around. The sun is spinning on its axis, whatever that means. And supposedly, the sun with the planets, the whole thing is also spinning around something. Everything is moving. Everything is moving. It's going to break. Friction, it's going to break. It can't go on forever. Okay, why did Hashem make a world where everything moves? If today, in modern technology, the goal of anything that you engineer in science is it shouldn't move. The less moving parts you have, the less problems. Go ask any engineer, go any car mechanic. Anything that they, any advancement in technology is defined when you can accomplish the same thing without moving parts or less moving parts. Every less moving part you need is one less headache for a mechanic or for anyone. There's no moving parts. Wow, I have one less tzara. You have a device, instead of it having 20 moving parts, it only has 10 moving parts. That is called an advancement in technology. So yet the world is not like that. It's amazing, amazing that Hashem Bidafka in his infinite wisdom did not make a world with no moving parts. Every single thing in the natural world moves. Everything moves. Yeah, look a person, how do you get around? You have knees, and you have the hospital of joint, what is it called? That. So that hospital is a factory. Hopefully no one was ever there, no one should ever be there, but what goes on there, everyone's having joint, all different types of joints replaced. You name it, and it's like a scary what goes on over there. Why? Because a person has moving parts. And if you have a moving part, how long it's going to get out at some point in time? Hashem, why didn't Hashem make a person with no moving parts? No moving parts. Everything is just, you know, a person can, I don't know, you figure how it works. Look, they say, this is the spookiest thing, I told you this many, many times, I always love to preach this, is that Rabbi Shalom Kamenetsky. Rav Shalom Kamenetsky is the son of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, so he's eclectic. He has an eclectic chevra here in Philadelphia. Oh, we have over here from Philadelphia, Harav HaGoyin, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen. He's from Philadelphia. He's right near the vicinity of the Kamenetskys, the Shiva of Philadelphia. So he gives a shir there for a chevra that seems to be very interesting. He gives a shir in mystical things. And they published the contents of the shir about what goes on in the next world. Does anyone want to know? Want to see that? Well, I'm waiting for the motion picture of the book. I don't remember anything in the book. I read the book. They already put two books. I don't remember anything. It's only one thing I remember. And he says there that in the Olam HaEmes, no one has elbows. No elbows. So there's no elbows, and they have there a smorgasbord like you've never seen. Like you've never seen. They have their food galore. You don't have to worry about dieting, worry about sodium, whatever you want. But there's one thing you have to be aware of. This delicious food you've never seen before, but you don't have any elbow. No one has an elbow. So try to go to Marina Del Rey at its best when they put out a smorgasbord. And one rule, before you walk into Marina Del Rey to the smorgasbord, next time you go to a wedding, you put on a brace. Put on a brace on your elbow. Try this. Mary, you want to try this? Put a brace on your elbow.
How do you get it to your mouth? Well,
how? The idea. What, are you going to bend down like a dog? Like a dog? Yeah, the photographers can be taking figures. You're not going to want to bend down like that. You can't do that. No elbows. Maybe let's make machne. No, you can't bend your chest either. Okay, let's make believe also. You can't bend your chest either. How are you going to eat? If try to go to Marina Del Rey, all that delicious food, put a brace, a good dieting. Why don't you do it for dieting? Why don't you know that people spend billions of dollars on to lose weight? Try this. Go put a brace on your elbow. And so you'll have to, every time you laugh, you have to go bend down like that. You're gonna get very tired of doing that. You're just not gonna eat. You'll lose weight very easily.
So how do you eat? How do you eat that? You know, I eat very easy. Try this at that hotel. Try this with your friend. Someone has to feed you.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I can't move my elbow. I could take this, though. I can go bring it to Mayor, and I can give him. And he can give me. That's how you eat. Who's going to feed you? Who's going to feed you? The people that you feed in this world are going to be there to feed you in the next world. That's a mashal, obviously, but it's a powerful mashal. No elbows. Someone has to feed you. Who? People who owe you. Not they owe you, whatever. They're going to reciprocate. Okay, people who reciprocate. So this pasuk here is mind-boggling pasuk, especially in the 21st century, where if you're into technology and into engineering, okay, engineering, there's a structural engineer and there is a mechanical engineer. What's the chilek? A structural engineer builds bridges, buildings. They build things that don't move. A mechanical engineer, they build things that move. Okay, two different worlds. You go on the Brooklyn Bridge, does it move?
Yes.
Does it shake?
Yes.
Who designed the Brooklyn Bridge? Was it a mechanical engineer or a structural engineer? I hope they got a structural engineer. You don't want it to move. Maybe a little bit, but not too much. Okay, so it's amazing that today we appreciate this concept of it's not good to move. Because if you move, it's going to break. The hospital is filled with patients who need replacement parts for them because they move. Hashem built a world that every single thing moves. And where do you know that from? You know that from this one little teeny word that you would pass up and never pay attention to. Ziz. Ziz means zoz. Veloy zoz mimenu. It's famous in the Gemara. The Gemara used that expression numerous times. Veloy zoz mimenu. He did not depart from him. He did not move. Ziz means to move. They say that's why it's called money. Zuz. In Aramaic. No, because money moves. The economy, that's a healthy economy. What is healthy economy? It's one of the statistics, one of the things they use to monitor the economy is how much money.
Indexes.
One of the indexes, how much money is moving around. When there's no confidence people are afraid that it's going to be a depression. People hoard money. They just store up money in there. They don't spend. It's critical for a healthy economy that people should spend money. When you spend money, that creates momentum, that creates growth, and there's movement. People, money is moving from place to place. Money has legs. Everyone's sending you bills. Give me money. You're spending money, trying to get money from other people. Money is all about movement. That's why it's called zuze. The money is called zuze, the milashon of movement. And here we talk about the world. Everything in this world is called the ziz sodai imodi. And I go a little bit deeper. Shin dalad yud means shakai. What is shakai? Sheomar le'olamoy dai. The word shakai is a word which refers to creation. Hashem created the world. The world was expanding, and Hashem atkan. Shakai refers to the conclusion of creation. Hashem made a world, and the world was advancing more and more and more, and Hashem said, okay, enough, let a human being finish off. Sheomar le'olamai, in the time of creation, die. And we put the two words, so it means, it alludes to creation. And it says, ziz. The world that Hashem created is a world of movement. A world of movement. And Hashem says, the world that moves, imodi, it's with me. I don't need your korbanos. I'm aware of all of the birds in heaven. I'm aware, you know why we forgot this pasuk yesterday? I know now why, because The FAA said everyone should stop. Everyone should stop. Yesterday, since 9/11, it was the first time since 9/11, all air traffic was shut down. Isn't that amazing? Since 9/11.
What about
the
word halacha?
What?
Halacha.
Halacha, very good. Halacha means movement. You're saying it very good. Halacha, halacha. It's an oxymoron, halacha. Because halacha usually means the buck stops here. This is what you do. And halacha, halacha means lashon halicha. The world of halacha. Ein loyli HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamai eladalid amay shel halacha. It's really an oxymoron, halacha. Because the word halacha means to move. It means to travel. Halacha is not dynamic. Halacha means this is the end. Lasuke shmeitza aliba dehilchasa. You can say a svara like this, a svara like this, svara like this. Torah is dynamic. You're dealing with issues. What should we do? We can do this, 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 this. You keep on vacillating back and forth. And then when you finally come to a conclusion, what is correct, lasuke shmeitza aliba dehilchasa. The buck ends here. And yet, what is the term that we use to define the Gemar? Halicha. Halacha, which comes from where halicha means to move. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction.
That's the way you just say, that's the way we go.
Right. Oh, that's the way. I think it's deeper than that. It's as if to say, it's trying to teach us, I think, is that it's just the building block for the next level. In this instance, this is where the halacha ends. But it's just a new building block for a new dimension. Okay, it's something you have to think about. But it is an interesting point. Is that when we talk about halacha, it usually means that's the end. You don't know what to do, and now okay, this is the halacha. We stop. So why is the word halacha like psak? What is psak? Pisuk. It means to come to an end. The psak halacha. Psak halacha, that's an oxymoron. Okay, that's a real oxymoron. Psak halacha. Stop, go. Isn't that what it means? Psak halacha. Pisuk means to stop. Halacha means to go. We don't usually use the word psak. We usually use the term halacha, but it's the same concept. This is it. There's nothing more to do. We've reached our destination. You have reached your halachic destination. The word sodai, these two words together are an oxymoron. The word sodai is miloshon sh'omar le'oilomoy dai. Stop. Ziz means keep on moving. Don't stop. Everyone move. Don't stop now. Keep in motion. It's an oxymoron. So let's refine what we said before. Look, let's go back to let's elaborate just a little bit more on the word shakai. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave a command to the Bria, create a world. And the world went into motion to create itself. Hashem said to create. And the world was expanding more and more. And Hashem said stop. In other words, this world is basically, when you come from outer space, like on Star Trek, and you come into the vicinity of Earth, it says construction ahead. Construction ahead. There's a big banner. When you come to Brooklyn, it says welcome to Brooklyn, right? When you come to Brooklyn, welcome to Brooklyn. On you go over the Brooklyn Bridge, there's a big sign there, and it says the name of the mayor, right? And you come to Yerushalayim, everyone saw, and you come to Yerushalayim, Beruchim HaBoim. You go to Yerushalayim, they have in grass, Beruchim HaBoim. When you come to planet Earth, there's a big sign that says, under construction. Construction zone. Don't go too quickly. You'll get a ticket. Fines are doubled when you come near Earth because it's a construction zone. Why is it a construction zone? Because the world, when it was being created, it was expanding more and more and more. And the Earth was willing to do a lot more, to create more things. And Hashem said, die. Stop. Enough. I don't want the world to be complete. Why? Because then it will be obvious that I am the creator. I want the world to be in a state where it's not so obvious that I created the world. in order to give human beings the opportunity, in order to see that I exist, in order to give them free will. So you know what? Don't finish the job. If you were to finish the job, it would be blatantly obvious that there is a creator. Die. Let man be mashlim the world. Stop. Yet, every single thing in this world is in motion. Everything in this world is in motion. So it's an oxymoron. Two words which are contradictory, being grouped together. What? Ziz means to move, and sodai means field, but it alludes to shakai, shin dalad yud. Or what? Imadi. Let's look over here at the Mitzvah David, and Mitzvah David, pasik yud aleph. Yud aleph, yodati ma she'enam yudum lucha. I know what you don't know. V'ziz sodai, habriyois hazozim. Mimakom lemakom, human beings who are always on the move from place to place, al pnei hasade, heima imadi uverishusi, wanderlust. I remember the first time I learned that word, wanderlust. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes.
Wanderlust, the need to move. It's an amazing thing. This kind of the whole world, the industry of flying, of cars, motorcycles, scooters, bikes. People have this need to move. To travel, just for the sake of traveling, just for the sake, for no purpose other than itself, just for the sake of just moving. You take these kids, like my nephews and nieces, a little bigger now, from they come to Lakewood. So what is the Chalamoy trip? Take them on the subway. Go nowhere. Just take them on the subway. It's so fascinating. It's like the zoo. It's like, yeah, and Mordechai, you're not laughing.
The zoo.
It's like going to the zoo. If you go on the subway, all different types of creatures, different colors and shapes. You take it. It's like so fascinating to go on the subway. It's the kids. They go wild. They never saw the subway before. You take them on the subway. Where do you go? You go nowhere. You go in circles. So the truth is, we're all children inside. Just like a little child who comes to New York, you take him on the subway and you go nowhere. That itself is an experience. So we're all the same also. You go on an airplane, you go in a car, you go somewhere. Yeah, we get bored of it because you do it so many times. But it's something which the neshama needs. It says in this pasuk over here, it says, the ziz sodai, the mitzudas of it says, refers to human beings, the nature of the human. Of the human condition is a person has a need just to get around, to move. Ziz habriyos hazozim imakom lemakom al pnei hasodeh. Go on an airplane just for fun. Heima imodi uvirushusi deyan marishos. There's a very good story. Who said the story? I heard it in Pesach Kron. Pesach Kron said the story. I heard this. It's a beautiful story. I can't remember the details the way he said it. We'll end with this now over here. And then he said, There was someone in Lakewood, me. I don't know who it was. It doesn't make a difference. A Rebbe, whatever. And it was before Pesach. And his wife said to the husband, take all the kids and get out of here. Get out of the house. I have to clean up. I have to cook. I cannot deal with the children running around, making noise. There's no school. And with you also. So all of you, I don't know what you're going to do, but take all the kids and get out of here. Leave this home for the whole day. Come back at night so I can have some peace and quiet and I can get done what I need to get done. Okay? Husband's, okay, fine. He takes his kids in the car and he goes to the airport. Which airport? Where do they have? They have a train that goes in circles. I don't know. What is it? Newark? Okay, Newark. Okay, you see, probably JFK also has. JFK, you see when you go on the BQE, you see it. You see, okay? He took the kids to the airport, and they got on this air train, which goes, and they just went around in circles the whole day. In circles the whole day, and the kids were having the time of their life because they saw, first of all, you know, go on this train, it's sleek, goes very quick, and you see all the airplanes in close, very quick, right in front of you, the airplanes, and you see all these things having the time of their life. And also, who comes on this air train? Pilots, passengers and pilots. And every time a pilot gets on the plane, oh, pilot, you know, with the whole costume, every airline, they have a different costume, every airline, with all these fancy things, they really dress them up, and you look at these, they look, oh, you know, it's very interesting. And there was a pilot that comes on the air train. He sits down and he sees this yeshiva guy with all of his kids, this whole chevra, and he's looking at them. Okay, he's looking at them the whole time, and at the end of the trip, he says to them. Okay, at the end of the trip,
2 minutes.
The end of the trip, the pilot, he says to the person, I see we have a nice family here. Where are you going? Where are you going? So the father was embarrassed, and he says to him, I'm not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We have some school is out today. My wife told me to take the kids and get out of the house. And we're not going anywhere. I just taken the kids for some time out, and we're just going in circles. Mm-hmm. So the pilot says, you know, let me tell you something. I have traveled to every airport in the entire world. I've gone to every airport, I've flown almost every plane. I have an incredible experience. I just got a text from my daughter, my child. She said to me, Dad, you never came to my birthday party. You never came to this. You never came to this. You had nothing to do with us. Dad, I never want to see you ever for the rest of my life. That's what the pilot said. So the pilot said, this is Rav Pesach Kron said this story. So only the way he says it. You can't match the way he says it. He says, let me tell you something. You tell me that I see how you have your family. I see your children. I see how much they love you. I see how good you, I see. And you're traveling, and you're telling me you're going nowhere. You know, I've traveled everywhere. And I'm the one who went nowhere. You went nowhere. You traveled, but you've gone everywhere. Okay, he has the right, I don't have the right words. Basically contrasting, the pilot's contrasting. Contrasting these two, you know, you travel. You think you're going nowhere, but you're going everywhere. And he has gone everywhere, and he went nowhere in his life. He has nothing to show for it in his life. This pasuk is an amazing pasuk. It represents the concept of motion, of traveling. Ziz sodai. There is a natural need that a human being has to move, to travel. The world is built, everything in this world is in motion. And obviously there's a lot more to discuss about this. We'll leave that mission for tomorrow. We'll take a short break. I'm going to do another day, one more day of Rabbi Belsky. Okay, so Rabbi Belsky tried to discuss some of the more interesting things in the book. Unfortunately, I didn't really even scratch the surface of the book. There's so much in the book. I'll just try to pick up on a couple of more interesting ideas from Rabbi Belsky. What?
Did you meet? You said you met.
No, something.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you something.
No, it couldn't be you asking me this year. I didn't see the homework this morning.
It's okay, it's all right. I remember it. Here, let me show you. My sister sent me something. I have a niece in Shidduchim. She sent me some information. Okay, here's what she sent me. Jay Mayevsky has a son named you. Are you related to this?
Yeah, sure. My first cousin in Chicago, he's a doctor. Jay Mayevsky, it's Yehuda Tzvi. That's his name.
Jay Mayevsky, after his, after the same like my father Yehuda Tzvi. Jay Mayevsky has a son named Yitzi, yeah, sure, named after his grandfather. Jay Mayevsky's father was Yitzhak, my father's youngest brother, who was 29 and a resident in pediatrics. Exactly, I know. Shadchan mentioned him. First of all, he's a brilliant kid, and he's a wonderful kid. I was at his, I mean, I know him. I've had a lot of, yeah, ooh.
So my sister wants him for his, for her daughter, for my niece.
He's a catch.
He's a catch.
He's a catch.
Okay.
His father's a big Talmud Chacham. He's a doctor, but he's, they're all big Talmud Chacham. They all come from a long, they come from the same family tree, and they're all brilliant. Everyone's brilliant. Younger, he has one younger brother, and that's it. They got married. He got married a little late, Jay. But he's a doctor, and his wife is a father. Her father was a physics professor at MIT. His father-in-law.
And, can my sister call you? Can I give you your number?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I have Jay's number. I mean, I call him occasionally.
Okay. So, let me. I'll tell her to call you that way. All right. Okay, thank
wife
you very
was
much.
Born in Cuba. That's where they got it.
Excellent.
They lived in Boston, with, you know, from
government came
the university.
To exposed us a lot of this.
Absolutely.
They found stuff. He was, he's a pretty sharp.
I want to know how Biden got so rich. Never had a job in his life. I want to do this. Never had a job in his life.
Well, for one thing, you should look at the so-called Penn Biden's.
Well, he didn't have to have a job in his life. He's had a job in a lot of other people's lives.
He doesn't even run the. He doesn't even run the crime family. His brother was the prince.
He's a jobber.
That all this Chinese money funneled through there. But Penn will say, or they'll say, they never got the Chinese money. But they did. Millions and millions and millions.
No.
Fund what? Do nothing.
It's been washed.
You mean sent to the Chinese cleaners? Or the other way around? Chinese sent their laundry money here to be
washed. My youngest son, he was a bank manager at Borough Park. People coming in with money. They were telling him, hey, if we have X amount of dollars, we want to do this.
In suitcases, yeah.
And he said, what do you think, I'm stupid? They were just trying to wash money. And he said, no, you can't open an account. That's okay.
Getting
into
trouble.
Yeah. The internet
about that's what one of the people are saying.
That's how
because where did the leaks come from?
Yeah. That's how I read it.
Who's leaking to liberal media?
Yeah.
That could very well be the case.
Yeah, they are abandoned.
You're not alone thinking that. There are people saying that.
But a way of planted in this house.
No,
I know, I'm kidding.
They never rated this house, so.
I give his house a rating. F.
Either kind.
Yeah.
Rated F.
It's right, though. I think so.
You have a friend that's still in there 40 years ago.
Anyone who wants this power of the milk, is either hazelnut or almond cream, let me know, I can get you some more. We have a stash in the basement.
Popcorn,
snacks. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, it's
I had this poison. And so took, I have the garlic.
Some of the West Hempstead. Whenever I go on the belt, it comes to 878 to go to 5 pounds.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you to get off. And
ways.
And ways will tell you to get off, and you zigzag through there, which is crazy. I hate doing it. I'd rather stay in the belt. And it ends up that everyone is leaving because they're all following ways. And therefore, it balances out. So if you stay in the highway, you end up probably the same amount of time. So that's why the algorithm adjusts. Somewhere along the line, they'll say, not always. But
It's not foolproof. They make a lot of mistakes.
Once on Route 4 in Jersey. In the middle of the road, it says make a left turn.
Yes.
There's no way. You can end up, someone called it, end up in a lake. They end up, made a right turn.
They have their lawsuits against that.
No, yeah, have to set.
And Eric Israel, they can send you into Palestinian territory. And then you're finished.
It just said 14 Teslas caused accidents because they went out of control. The automatic drive says you have to keep an eye. You have to keep your hands on the steering wheel and keep an eye. But people don't want to do it. They want it to be in. I don't trust it. Every time I go on the computer, I get a different, it's not the same exact thing all the time. So you know that something is not 100%. So how do you trust the draw? Now they have a baby carriage, remote control. You put the baby in the carriage and you can walk along and just remote the control. I said it's very dangerous. But that's it, the new, they just had a tech convention or something. They had all these new inventions, crazy. Crazy. I don't know. Okay, let's learn a few things. I wanted to spend another day on this. Another day, some ideas from Rabbi David Leibowitz. He has a collection of interesting things.